content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, June 24th through Sunday, June 30th, 2024. The commentary for June was written by Philip M. Baer, who has a passion for serving the unhoused, incarcerated, addicted, and missions in Haiti. Phil is a retired business person, author, and avid gardener who lives in Tallahassee, Florida, with Jeannie, his wife of 52 years, and retired archdeacon of the Diocese of Florida. They have two children and two grandchildren. The commentary for Monday, June 24th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. And by the way, this is the passage for Monday, June 24th, when we celebrate the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. Here's the commentary. Each week, when I entered the prison chapel, Milton, an inmate for 17 years, stood and held several slips of paper with handwritten scripture verses. "Take one and read it," he offered, and I'd make a spectacle of choosing just the right one. As I read, Milton recited the scripture from memory and then blessed me. "God is faithful. Walk in love and peace." As inmates trickled in, Milton did the same ritual with them. Word around the chapel was that the scripture we each chose was what we needed to hear. Was Milton a prophet in prison blues? Yep, he made us pause, even for a moment, to reflect on God's hand-picked message for us. For me, Milton's verses were sometimes convicting, hitting me between the eyes, or more often saturating my heart with God's grace. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Milton gave light to those who sat in darkness and guided them in the way of peace. He was a reminder of Jesus, the light, and to do likewise. And now I'm going to read the full gospel for this day from Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 80. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of God was with him." Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David. As he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors, and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. And now the moving forward question for this Monday, June 24th, when we celebrate the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. Who are the prophets in your life? The commentary for Tuesday, June 25th, begins with a passage from Psalm 100, verse 1. Be joyful in the Lord. Come before his presence with a song. 13 inmates and I met weekly in the small prison chapel for brief worship and lessons. On this day, Psalm 100 was part of our worship. We recited it together. It resonated with them. So we said it again. Williams volunteered to say the first verse, followed by our response. Inspired, I asked Hernandez to read it in Spanish and then teach us the latest verse, or rather the last verse, in Spanish. This was getting fun. I took a risk and, in the world's worst voice, did my best rendition of leading a Gregorian chant, all chanting antiphonally. Friendly jeers and applause. Spontaneity and frivolity took over. Wilkins sang the psalm as a rap and had us follow. When the clapping subsided, we heard Jefferson snapping his fingers, singing in a soulful baritone voice. We demanded an encore, snapping our fingers and singing, Joyful in the Lord. I put my lesson plans aside. Anything I might say would deflate the tangible message hanging in the air. Everyone can sing praise to the Lord in whatever language, in whatever manner, in whatever place. And now I am going to read the full passage from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. And the moving forward statement for this day is, take a risk today. The commentary for Wednesday, June 26th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 16. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Worshippers came 30 minutes early to occupy the front rows of the storefront Mission Church. Some were fervent worshippers, but all knew that after worship they would be called first for lunch. When the service began, the church was packed with dozens waiting outside. After the service, the pastor announced, "Today the last will be first." She strode to the door and called the outsiders to eat first. Then she welcomed the worshipers in the back rows to eat. Those in front protested, "We were here first." My memory recalls her saying something like, "There is enough food for everyone, it won't run out." Likewise, Jesus' love for you never runs out, whether you are outside, inside, back, or front row. All who hunger and wait upon the Lord in this life will receive eternal life. I have spent my life entrenched in the front now, privileged, called first. When I feel entitled, I am reminded that God doesn't call us according to our row, but our hearts. And now I'll read the full gospel from Matthew today. It's chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, and each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this, the last, the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, June 26th, do you hunger and wait upon the Lord? Now let's turn to the commentary for Thursday, June 27th. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 28a. "Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." Julia traded rushing down Wall Street in high heels for touring the streets of Jerusalem in sandals. After dinner in the hotel cafeteria, she stood in an unmoving line for soft-serve ice cream. Her impatience led her to where three tourists were clamoring about how to dispense soft-serve. She showed them how by simply pushing a hidden button. Then she handed each a bowl and got back in line. Soon an elderly woman pulled her back to the machine. Once there, others wanted her to serve them. Her pride raged. "Who do you think I am, your lowly servant?" Deep within, Julia's answer came swiftly. Just steps away in an upper room, Jesus had humbled himself, washing the disciples' feet as the servant to all. A grin coursed Julia's face. "Have fun with this." And she did, serving soft serve with a smile to multitudes of diverse, thankful faces. The next day on tour, Julia exchanged smiles with people she recognized from the line. One man shook her hand, a woman hugged her, and another introduced her to friends, mimicking eating soft serve. And now I'm going to read the full passage of today's gospel from Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 28. While Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and on the third day he will be raised." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked a favor of him. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard it, they were angry with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And the moving forward statement for this Thursday, June 27th, today and every day, have fun serving others. Now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, June 28th. It is the day we celebrate the feast day of Irenaeus of Lyon. "I was Randy's server at the packed, noisy feeding ministry. Each time I passed his table, he had emptied another large cup of iced tea and held his cup out for more. We'd chat briefly as I filled his cup. As I served others in the parish hall, I could hear Randy shouting, 'Phil, more tea!' I felt hassled. After his sixth glass, I placed a pitcher full of tea in front of Randy. 'Here!' Color drained from his face. I immediately realized my cruel insensitivity. Randy was as thirsty for compassion as he was for tea. I sat down and poured him another cup, despite others calling for more tea." In today's reading from the Numbers, the congregation shouts at Moses, "There is no water to drink." God compassionately has Moses strike a rock, and water flows abundantly. In Matthew, Jesus heals two insistent blind men who shout to him, "Lord, have mercy on us." People shout out to us for compassion, sometimes in loud voices or actions, but often silently through sad eyes. They shout out for us to pause, to be totally present, and to compassionately hear their story. And now I'll read the gospel for today from Matthew, chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. There were two blind men sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd sternly ordered them to be quiet, but they shouted even more loudly, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David." Jesus stood still and called them, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately they regained their sight, and they followed him. And the moving forward question for this Friday is, who needs your compassion? Now let's turn to the commentary for Saturday, June 29th, the day on which we commemorate the feast day of St. Peter and St. Paul. It begins with a passage from Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 12a. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. Our mission team was building a church in Haiti, but ran out of materials. Père Cole, the local priest, and I walked the mud streets of Torbeck in search of materials. As we walked, Père Cole greeted one person after another with a smile, a pat on the shoulder, and often a hug. This went on for hours. I groused inside. This is getting us nowhere, and we haven't even found a single piece of lumber. As darkness approached and we were empty-handed, I let slip, "How are we going to build the church?" Père Cole smiled. "Philip, we have been building the church one person at a time." On Sunday, villagers came to the unfinished church for worship, bearing gifts, a cinder block for the front step, a rusted tin sheet for roofing, and a tattered shawl for an altar cloth. Most faces I recognized from the streets days before. I erroneously thought 2x4s built churches. Père Cole rightly knew that churches are built by walking among people, seeking them out, nurturing them. All around us are scattered, lost people to seek out. And now I'm going to read from the Old Testament today the passage from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, and says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. And the moving forward question for this day is, who are the lost sheep amongst you? Now, as we near the end of our program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, June 30th, the sixth Sunday of Pentecost. 7-year-old Michael turned away his fists, clenched, tears streaming down his cheeks. Bigger boys had cornered a stray dog and were stoning it to death. Hours later, Michael returned to the site and mounded stones over the dog's broken body. He laid his beloved stuffed animal atop the rubble and whispered, "You're not alone." In today's reading, we follow Jeremiah's transition from despair over Jerusalem's horrific destruction to hope. But this I call to mind, and therefore have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Horrific violence and destruction are prevalent in my community, nation, and the world, destroying innocent lives. Sadness consumes me for those wronged. I despair. Where is the hope? Where is God? What can I do? Michael's actions guide me. He did what he could. He didn't let evil be the last act. God calls you and me to be hope, to touch the pain of the brokenhearted, to assure them that they are not alone in God's faithfulness. In us there is hope new every morning. And the passage for today is from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 23b. Great is your faithfulness, and I'll read the full scripture here from chapter 3, verses 21 through 33. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust. There may yet be hope, to give one's cheek to the smiter, and be filled with insults, for the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. And the moving forward statement for this last day of the week is, rejoice in God's never-ceasing faithfulness and love. And that's all the time we have for today's edition of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.